begins now. We'll get to our prize picks for the weekend here momentarily. Quick question for you, Brian. Are you a hat guy, and do you ever go backwards hat? I'm inspired by Dan Quinn, because you don't see head coaches go backwards hat very often. He has stayed true to himself. He's going backwards hat. I was a catcher back in the day. I like backwards hats, even though I'm a middle-aged man now. Are you a hat guy, A, and do you ever wear it backwards, B, on the farm?
I am a hat guy. I like wearing it. I mean, I play a lot of golf, so I like wearing a hat. When I'm out at the farm, I wear a hat when I'm working out there. So I do wear a hat backwards. I look bad with a backwards hat, so I don't wear it backwards. Like you look good wearing it backwards. So like you're fine. I look terrible with a backwards.
Thanks a lot. So, well, how do you look terrible with a backwards hat? What does that? Does that look like? Go. Can you get a hat in the break?
Yeah, I'll find one on the break. I just look bad. Like I don't know what it is. I just look like I don't like I've looked at myself with it. I just look stupid. So like I just don't wear it backwards. But no, I think it's fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I find no issue with a backwards hat.
Just that you look stupid. Okay, good to know.
Yeah, I do. It's me personally. It's not an overall backwards hat thing. It's a me thing. So I just don't do it.
All right. See, there's one to grow on. Time now for our prize picks for the week.
I hope I don't look stupid with some of the picks that I made last night putting this together.
Uh-huh.
We've been hot on prize picks. You guys know that. Tausch and I have had a pretty good streak of it as of late. I've been reading these college football playoff games like a book, so I've been on fire with some of these selections.
Mm. You had Ohio State going up like 31-0, did you?
Travion Henderson, I did have over more rushing yards for him. That was a big success. Prize Picks has their injury insurance. Jordan James of Oregon got the reboot on him in the Rose Bowl on whatever day that was. All the days are the same.
Too bad Oregon couldn't.
Yeah, they needed a reboot. All right, so these are some real stat line projections courtesy of our friends at Prize Picks. I will tell you the projections that I have already selected. You tell me if you think I have it right or wrong. Usually, Brian, I ask Jason and Tausch for their opinion on this, but because I've been so good at this lately, we're mixing it up this time, and now I'm just going to tell you what I think, and you can say, that's a great pick, Jesse. Smart play.
That's the Jessiest thing ever.
Been easy.
Okay.
Caleb Williams, I took less than 200.5 passing yards for Sunday's game. That offense has seemed disinterested the last few weeks, so I took less than 200.5 points, or passing yards, I should say. You like that pick, Brian?
Yeah, I do. I feel good about that. I think it's going to be cold. I think it's going to be very, like you said, disinterested. I don't think the Lions really going to want to play. I think at last game of the season, it's always the same with the D linemen. They want to get their stats up. There's normally, I don't know if Green Bay does it, but a lot of the times, there's a lot of incentives that get put on the line, sack incentives, and this is where guys chase incentives at the end of the year. I don't know if Green Bay does that. But this is when guys want to get those last end of the season stat pushes. So I think under is a good call.
I hope he ends up with 201 passing yards. So you're wrong after you take less. That's what I'll be rooting for on Sunday.
Not very nice.
Who's next?
You know I'm right, though. Jordan Love, less than 0.5 interceptions. So I got Jordan Love not throwing an interception against the Bears defense on Sunday.
Is his last interception against the Bears?
I think so.
I think it is.
So he's been clean. I don't think he's going to play the entire game. And so for that reason, I like less than 0.5 interceptions. Brian?
I like it too. I mean, he's been playing clean, so like I got to take it too. I'm good with that.
I think he's going to throw a pick. I think Gary Ellerson's in his head. He's itching to take some risks. And so he's going to throw one. It's going to get deflected off of Jaden Reed's shoulder pad, and it's going to be a pick. So I'm going to go more.
A lot of running the football, I think, on Sunday. DeAndre Swift of the Bears, more than 63.5 rushing and receiving yards combined. So that counts out of the backfield passes, or receiving yards. 63.5 rushing plus receiving yards. I took more. Brian, do you like the pick?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to have a big day for them to have a chance. I mean,
are they even interested in winning the game? Like, they look totally disinterested against the Lions a couple of weeks ago. Like, I don't know if they're even interested in winning.
No, I mean, probably not. But, I mean, guys still have some pride. And if the thing is, like, if you let them hang around long enough, they're gonna care. Like, if you let them stick around long enough in the game, they're gonna care.
You're right.
And that's the thing. That's the thing you got to be careful with a team like this. Like, you can make them quit really quick, but if you give them a reason to care, they're gonna care. So, like, if you give Swift a reason to go over the 63.5, which I think you will regardless, right? Like, I mean, they use him a lot. And you're in the fourth quarter and the guy's got over 100 total, that means they're probably in the game. So, like, that's just the way it goes.
I'm going to go less. Packers are going to shut him down. He had 84 total yards in the first meeting, and 39 of it came on that touchdown that got out the gate, and Xavier McKinney missed the tackle and then threw his helmet and the Microsoft Surface tablet on the sideline. That's not happening again. I'm going less.
I can now no longer tell if you're just doing this to be opposite of me or if you actually believe these are
maybe
the things
a little
that are going to happen.
Perhaps a little bit of both, yeah.
Last one in the interest of time. Anytime Chris Brooks shows up on Prize Picks, I feel like I owe it to him to make a selection. Chris Brooks, the third-string Packers running back, more than 0.5 rushing and receiving touchdowns. So I think Chris Brooks gets in the end zone on Sunday. Brian, you want to join that club?
No.
Why not?
I just don't. It's going to be the number one or number two, and that's just what it's going to be. And that's
Brian. I'm with Brian, but what I really want to see is a replay of what he did earlier in the season where he could run in for a touchdown, but they're running out the clock, so he unselfishly lays down short of the goal line when you could have gotten that one right, and he instead gives himself up, and he ends up with less than 0.5 touchdowns.
It'd be very rude.
What wouldn't be rude is for you to tell us about your love of Prize Picks.
I love Prize Picks. I've been successful playing Prize Picks. It is a lot of fun. And this time of year reminds me of when I first got started playing Prize Picks along with Old T just a couple of years ago. This is a great time to hop in. Prize Picks, the best place to get real money sports action with over 10 million members and billions of dollars in awarded winnings. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. You just pick more or less on at least two players for a shot to win up to 1,000 times your cash. Run your game all season long on Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. Make your holidays bigger and brighter with Prize Picks, the best place to get real money action while watching your favorite sports. You can now win up to 200 times your money on Prize Picks, the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states and the best place to get real money sports action. Join now because Prize Picks is giving away a whole bunch of great opportunities for you to win. Check it out right now. And remember, use promo code WI, like Tausch always says, to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Download the app. Use code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. I always wanted to do this. Prize Picks. Run
your
game. We did it. Nicely done.
Our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week are next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Got Rob Domofsky coming up next. But before that, time for our Steinhoffel's Sleepers of the Week, presented by Steinhoffel's. And Steinhoffel's New Year's 5-day sale ends on Sunday. Take an extra $100 off your purchase of $1,999 or more and get incredible deals like Beautyrest mattresses for just $299 and sofas starting at just $300. And $99. Plus, make your new room that much more affordable with no interest until 2030 when you use Steinhoffel's 60-month financing. No money down, no hidden fees. Shop Steinhoffel's New Year's 5-day sale now through Sunday in store and online at steinhoffels.com. Time now for our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week.
Don't sleep, you gotta stay up.
Hey there, sleepyhead. Wakey, wakey.
Okay, campers, rise and shine.
It's time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week on Wilde and Tausch.
It is time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. Tausch has gotten his in a very timely manner.
That's
as opposed
great
to Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
He has selected Kingsley Enagbare as his Steinhoffel Sleeper of the Week. Jesse, since you feel like you have been wronged so many times by the 565 analytics firm, obviously Brian gets first pick on his Sleeper of the Week. But then you may go second. I will defer to you since you've been so egregiously aggrieved on this program.
I appreciate that sportsmanship. It's very kind of you, Jason.
That's what I do. All right, Brian, who's your Sleeper of the Week?
My Sleeper of the Week. So who I think is going to have a huge impact on this game, and Jesse, I hope you're not thinking this guy, but I think he's been a godsend to this team. And I think my Sleeper of the Week is McManus. I think he goes like 4-for-4 or something crazy this game and goes off for the G&G. That is my sleeper this week.
I talked to him for about 10 minutes this week, and it was a very good conversation, but it was really funny because he admitted that there were guys on the team when he made those game-winning field goals earlier this year after he first signed and went back-to-back, that guys didn't know his name. He was just the kicker. And now he does believe that everyone knows his name. So good for Brandon. He is your Steinhoffel Sleeper of the Week. All right, Jesse, who you got?
Most underrated move of the year for the Packers, signing Brandon McManus. And I don't even know if it's totally underrated. I just, like, it. That's been so important, and I don't think it's gotten as much attention as it should have. Like, that hasn't been an issue at all season long. I just said I wanted him in Prize Picks for a more for a touchdown score. Give me Chris Brooks, running back. I think Josh Jacobs gets out of the game pretty quickly this weekend to save the legs for when he's going to need it against Philadelphia the following week. So give me Chris Brooks getting a lot of second half action this week is my sleeper.
All right, so Jesse, I guess I have to go to you as the quasi-arbiter of the rules here.
Oh no, I'm not involved in the rules in this game this year.
What does Malik Willis have to do to be the sleeper of the week? Does he have to throw a touchdown pass? Does he have to score a touchdown? Just playing will not be enough.
Yeah, like he can't just come in and hand the ball off a bunch and call it a day. Like he'd have to come in and throw minimum one touchdown pass, maybe more, make a few plays that I don't know if he's got a wow play in him, but you'd know it when you saw that Malik Willis went above and beyond to be a sleeper of the week this week. I think it's one of those you don't know how to qualify it ahead of time, but you'll know it if you see it.
All right, well, I'm going to take him. I'm going to take the chance, and we'll see.
And score more points than the other team in order to win.
Well, I mean, that's a good start. Yeah, I mean, that's a great start.
That would be good for him. All right, I'm going to take Malik Willis. The Packers backup quarterback who may or may not get an opportunity for extended opportunity to play in Sunday's game. All right, those are our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week presented by Steinhoffels. You can submit yours via the YouTube comments. You can do it certainly via Twitter as well and on Facebook too. All right, we need to get to Rob Domofsky. Did you guys ever play golf together? You and Rob?
No.
Not once.
I don't think so.
You know how you win when you play golf? You require fewer strokes than your opponent. Unless, of course, you're playing with your handicap, then maybe you still have more strokes, but you still win. We'll talk to Rob Domofsky next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Time now for a man who I read every word he writes. Unlike Tausch, who does not read every word I write. It is ESPN NFL Nation's own Rob Domofsky on Wilde and Tausch. Rob, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are great. When are we going to get you and Brian on the course together?
Well, so we never actually played together, but one time I did play right in a group right behind him.
Did you hit right into him?
Well, he was so far away, I couldn't reach him. So it was never in danger. I couldn't catch up. But I think you were playing with Fitzy and those guys one time. I was right behind
you. So you should have been able to catch us with the cart girl stopping at our hole probably every, 10 minutes. So you should have been able to catch us eventually.
Yeah. It was the off season, so I'm sure you guys were imbibing, if that's the right word.
Yes.
So, Rob, how are you approaching this game? Are you thinking about leaving it, in the third quarter? What's your approach to this one against the Bears?
Jason, I don't really get, the idea that they have nothing to play for, because they do. They win and Washington loses in the sixth seed. I realize it's not completely in your control. But to say, there's nothing to play for in this game, I don't what would Mike McCarthy say? I don't agree with that premise.
it's convenient. Polluted mindset.
Convenient criticism. I don't see that. Now, if you look up on the scoreboard and, Washington's up 30-0 or whatever, then, maybe that changes. But we've talked on many, many times on the show, Jason. I believe momentum is a real thing. I think you want to be carrying that in. You don't want to be doubting yourself. You don't want to have people doubting you going into the playoffs.
Do you remember that 2021 finish? You would have been in Detroit for it, where they, LaFleur admitted this week he told the guys, hey, you're only going to play a half. He clearly regretted that. He didn't feel like he got the best out of Rodgers and company by doing that. So you're right. There is something to be gained here. But what was the vibe? Because what he said basically was, it's not why they lost to the 49ers a couple weeks later, but he didn't like the vibe of the team going into the playoffs after he took that approach.
And was that the game that Bakhtiari came back, played 27 snaps, and then
couldn't play in the playoffs? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was it.
I do agree with Matt in the sense that, it's only the right decision if you end up winning the next game. And I don't know if you didn't win the next game or lost the next game because of the way you approached the finale. There's no way to know that. But
sure.
There's no right or wrong answer. I know you're the helicopter parent beat writer. You don't want anybody getting hurt. I'm a believer in, it's momentum. I think that's important. I get both sides, though. I totally get it. But I don't know. I just think if it were me, I'd play my guys.
Yeah, I've talked to Jason about this too. Last night and today, I'm in the boat with you. I'm for carrying momentum into the next week because Philly has already said they're sitting guys, right? Like, they made that very clear already that they're sitting guys. So, like, you can get – because you need some advantage going there, right? Like, we're just saying Dallas doesn't beat Washington and you're going to Philly, right? Like, we'll just assume that. You need some advantage over Philadelphia, and because at this point in time, I think Philly's the best team in the NFC. People could disagree. That's okay. That's fine. But you need some type of advantage. So, like, if that means you're playing your guys – to get like a mental advantage that you're playing as you know better and you're about as sharp as you can be going there, you got to do it. You got to do something because, you know, like at least that's the way I feel about it. I don't know.
Brian, you and I talked earlier in the week about the 2010 run and, you know, like you guys won the last two games of the regular season just to get into the playoffs. I would even go back to the third to last game at New England where, you know, you guys didn't win, but Aaron was out with the concussion, right? And you almost won the game at New England. I think that might have even been a primetime game, if I'm not mistaken. And then you come, you trounce the Giants 45-17. You squeak by the Bears, but, you know, the opener or, you know, the playoff opener then at Philly maybe feels like you're on a little bit of a run. And I know you really thought, you really liked the 2014 team and the way that team was playing in the playoffs, and if I'm not mistaken, that team went in with a couple game winning streak as well. I get, you know, I'm finding examples to support my cause. I'm sure there's plenty that, like, you know, Jason brought up that would support the other side, but you know,
well, like I'll give you a good example, Rob. Like, and this is just me. This is just me personally. Like in 2011, as good as that team was, and I'm not this not for anyone else on the team, but this is just me personally. We played. We lost to Kansas City. They were the second to last game of the season, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Third to last.
Kansas City what?
You guys were 13. So then, you guys were 13-0 going there.
Yeah, so we were 13-0. We lost that game. Then the next week we played who did we play the next week?
Chicago.
We won, obviously.
Yeah.
We played Chicago, and then we played Detroit to finish, and no one played against Detroit.
Correct.
Like, he sat a bunch of people.
Big game,
And I was one of the guys to sit because I hurt my knee against Kansas City that game, but I played. I think I played against Chicago, or maybe I didn't. And I sat 2 weeks, so essentially 3 weeks in a row, and then went and played against New York. And I don't know. I can't remember how I played against New York. I don't think I played bad, but I remember taking that field against New York in the playoff game, and it, you know, you're going against Justin Tuck and Umanira and those guys, and you're like, I haven't played football in a while. And, like, they've just played. And they're, like, and they're going. And it takes you a little while to get back into the game. And a bunch of starters hadn't played since that Detroit game. And, like, there's something to be said about playing and going into a playoff game. So, like,
You did not play.
Getting these guys
you
going.
Did not play in that Detroit game. You did not. Look, based on Pro Football Reference, you did not play the last two games of that year.
Slacker.
Yeah.
To your point though about 14, Rob, I was just doing this while you and Brian were talking. So the top three teams in the NFC in the playoffs in 2014, Seattle was the one seed. All three were 12-4. For those that I don't want to spoil your story, which I know is coming out next week, but all three teams were 12-4 overall. The Seahawks were 10-2 in the conference. They got the number one seed. The Packers were 9-3. The Cowboys were 8-4. And so the Packers needed to win that final regular season game against the Lions to lock up the second seed, because that was back when there was a second bye.
Two byes.
So they had a reason to play hard in that game before going into the bye week and then beating Dez caught it and the Cowboys in the divisional round the week after that. So it is a juggling act. But to Rob's point to begin with, like, if Mike McCarthy's team somehow rises up without most of its good players, if we're being honest, and after emptying the bucket against Tampa Bay a couple of weeks ago and then getting trounced by the Eagles last week, if somehow they rise up, and as Matt LaFleur said, Mike does us a favor, then great. But if it's 31-10 in the third quarter, helicopter beat writer is saying, Matt LaFleur, get Josh Jacobs and Jordan Love off the field. Get them out. You're not getting the sixth seed.
Well, and I get that. I really do. I also think part of it depends on how your game is going.
No doubt.
If your line is protecting really well and, you know, Jordan's not taking any hits and, you know, maybe, and if it's a closer game that you feel like you need to close out for the momentum factor, maybe you leave him in. But, you know, if you're up, you know, 21-3, you know, the game is certainly not like clinched, but I think you feel like, right, you know, maybe you have enough of a lead that you can still close it out, still go into the postseason with a win.
Talking with ESPN's Rob Domofsky, we've got Brian Bulaga as our cousin sub of the day today on Wilde and Tausch. Rob, the Pro Bowl balloting came out. Obviously, they get two Pro Bowlers that are the free agent pickups in Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney, and then Rashawn Gary. Let me ask about Rashawn Gary first, because I have a question for both of you about the other two guys. Were you as surprised as Rashawn Gary was that he's a Pro Bowler?
Yeah, I was. Look, I mean, the sack numbers aren't there, and typically, you know, that's what, you know, that's what does it. Now, I do think he's playing better of late. I think he's played the run. I mean, the run is not a sexy kind of thing, but I think he's played the run, and they've played the run pretty solid most of the year, which is, look, for how many years have we, you know, harped on their run defense? But, yeah, I was a little surprised. But, look, you know, he's a guy who has – maybe built a reputation and signed a big contract. And it's a little bit of a popularity contest. I mean, heck, you and I both won Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year a couple times. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's probably more of a popularity contest than
never thought I'd ever hear you think you won a popularity contest, but that's another discussion for another day.
I mean, like the Kirby Joseph thing, just like that just throws the whole Pro Bowl to me completely. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he doesn't make the Pro Bowl. He's leading the league with 9 interceptions, but he's got a reputation as maybe a dirty player, so people aren't voting for him. So, I mean, that doesn't mean he shouldn't be a Pro Bowler. So, but yes, I was a little surprised. I was not surprised by McKinney at all. Jacobs, you never know with running backs. To be honest with you, I didn't know they took three, and I believe he was the third. So,
and as I think Gabe Neitzel pointed out, because of the way they do the voting and the switch to the 4-3. Not a lot of defensive ends to choose from, which probably also helped Rashawn Gary's chances. All right, here's the question.
And can I just say this real quick? It's interesting, Jason, that you bring that up, because the Pro Football Writers, they have their own all-pro team, and I think many of these people, not me and not you, but vote in the AP, the big ones, and they actually sent out specific criteria about, like, positions. I'm just going to read this real quick. In the case of players like Micah Parsons plays defensive end. He is not a linebacker. Likewise for Max Crosby. However, T.J. Watt in Pittsburgh, because they play a 3-4, is an outside linebacker.
Yeah.
So, like, to me, those guys play the same position, really, but I guess.
As Matt LaFleur so condescendingly explained to me last year, those guys are down linemen in the sub packages. So what I want to ask you both is, you look at what McKinney and Jacobs have done. They have been field-tilting players. I'm not putting McKinney in the Woodson class. He's not going to the Hall of Fame just yet. But when you both think back, and Brian, you go first, because I'm wondering if maybe in 14 when Julius Peppers came along, do you remember guys during your career? You know, you were there for the 19 free agent class with the Smith brothers as well. What do you remember guys coming in and hitting the ground running, both as players and as fits to the locker room, as well as these two seem to have?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like these guys have done so much good for this locker room. I mean, mostly because it was a young locker room, so you bring in two guys that are, I mean, not just really good football players, but veteran good football players that have accomplished a lot in their short amount of time in the league. I mean, I get they were both new contract guys, but that's, you know, fourth, fifth-year guys with really, you know, good resumes. I mean, it does a lot for the locker room. For me, it would be Julius, right? Like, you bring in Julius Peppers, because a lot of us had blocked him, right?
Right.
And gone against him, and the quarterback has gone against him. And, like, you know, you understand the type of guy you're bringing in. And all the D linemen, the entire defense, you know, respect a guy like him because they've watched him on tape. They understand what this guy's about. And then you bring him into the locker room, and then you get to meet him and see what he's about and see how he works. And it's like day one, instant respect, not just because of what you've seen or what you've gone against on the field, but now you're seeing it in person and seeing how he works. And it's just like, this guy's the real deal. This is everything I thought this guy would be and more. And I mean, he would probably be the guy, I would say, but like in 19, you know, the Smith brothers, Amo, like those guys did a fantastic job with it as well. I mean, it was a new staff. There was a lot of questions. They came in and fit in fantastically right away too. So like it was, but it's hard to like, group them in with Julius Peppers. It's just really hard to say that like they fit in better than Julius, you know what I mean? But at least that's my experience. Now some other one, some, you know, someone may say something different, but for me, going against Julius for how many years in Chicago and understanding what he was about, it was a no-brainer for me.
You know, Woodson was an interesting case, Jason, because it didn't exactly start that smoothly, and if I remember correctly, you were a little bit in the middle of that where McCarthy got mad at you for writing that, what was it, that Woodson didn't want to, was it that he didn't want to come to the offseason program?
No, that was with Al Harris, who didn't come to the offseason program, and my anonymous source was Al Harris, so I felt pretty good about my sourcing there. But to your point, Tausch talks about it all the time, like Charles didn't want to be there. We all knew that, right? And
it was his only option other than Tampa, who wanted to play him at safety. I think that was his only option.
And so once he warmed up to this place, and once he felt like, I mean, we saw what he became. You know that, and I know that, and obviously Brian played with him too. But he did not hit the ground running the way these guys did. And for me, McKinney, and this is what I wanted to ask you, Rob, is, you know, I can admit this since we're, you know, on the show here, those guys are going to win our Tom Mulhern Award because they've been great with us too. But for them to step in the way they have, what's impressed you both on and off the field about the way they've done that?
That they, I mean, they delivered on their contracts. Like, I mean, that's, I know sometimes we focus on money too much, but when you are paid the types of free agent monies that they were. I mean, it was the signing bonuses were $12.5 million for Jacobs, and was it $17.5 million for McKinney?
Yeah.
I'm not, what is that, 29, almost $30 million in signing bonus money that they dish out? I mean, how often does that really work out in the league? You know, it seems like not that often. And there's a variety of reasons. It could be injuries. It could be that it wasn't a good fit, but like, they went out on a limb. Gutekunst went out on a limb with those guys, and they delivered. And to me, when the production meets the expectation, that's when it's a success. And it just, quite frankly, doesn't happen all that much. I mean, like, just look at, I mean, first round picks, they all don't work out. I mean, how many first round picks? What were you, Brian? You were 32nd pick, right? The draft? No, you were
20. What were you? 23. Yeah, 23.
How many 23rd overall picks end up playing 10 plus years in the league? Not that many. Like, it's just the expectations don't often meet, you know, what the pre-hype was. And in this case, they didn't. And I think it's for a number of reasons. One, they both really, really like football. Like, I mean, that's the thing that I think some people forget is that, you know, there have been plenty of players over the years that played football because they were good at it and because it got them, you know, what they wanted in life, but didn't love football. I don't love football, but I love basketball. But these guys love football. Like, there's no doubt about it. And I think that's, to me, when you know, and again, talking to us is not really doesn't translate to, like, success in the field. But you can tell when we talk to these guys that, A, they like football, B, they care about winning, and C, they're good teammates. And I think when you have those three things from especially your highest, you know, look, the young guys are going to look to these guys and say, boy, they paid those guys a lot of money. and look at how they acted. This is how I should act. So I just think that's all. And it's a risk. Like, there is no doubt it is a big risk signing, you know, guys to those types of contracts.
To Rob's point, the 23rd overall picks since Brian was selected, the only two that appear to be any good, both picked by the Vikings, Jordan Addison and Christian Darrisaw. Otherwise, lots of disappointment at that 23rd pick since 2010.
Yes, and like I guess to Rob's point too, the difference between drafting and free agent, I guess, pickups, which both are a gamble, right? But when you normally draft, you give guys time to like assimilate to the culture of the team, right? And they get to get brought in, and the culture kind of, they get to grow up in it. Where when you sign guys for big money, right, they're coming from a place that could be a terrible culture, could be a losing culture, it could be whatever, and they're bringing that into your locker room. And Green Bay, forever, and this is known around the league. Believe me, I left that locker room, went to a different locker room, not ragging on the Chargers, but, like, you go to a losing culture from a winning culture, people know, like, how it's like in winning cultures, and they want to ask about it. They want that in their building. And, like, when you start bringing those types of things into winning buildings, it's hard to get that mentality out of here and assimilate them into a winning culture. So, like, to me, like, when you brought those two guys in, the Raiders, losing organization, the Giants, losing organization, but those two guys came in and they understood what the expectations were. So that's hats off to them, but also, like, the guys in that locker room and the coaching staff. Like, there's a lot that goes into that to make those types of things work, or at least would be my opinion to it.
Real quick, I don't know if you were there, Jason, that after the Saints game when they clinched the playoffs, if you were talking to McKinney or talking to somebody else, but I asked him, I'm like, why do you think you had the 1 year of the playoffs with the Giants and then you never went back, which goes into my story about building, you know, playoff year after year after year. And he just said, he goes, we don't have enough time to get into why we were a one-year wonder, which speaks to the culture, I think, Brian's
right. Dysfunction, for sure. All right, Rob, I will see you over at Lambeau Field. We always love it when you make time for us. Thanks, buddy.
All right, have a good one. We'll be seeing you.
That is Rob Domofsky. You can read every word he writes on ESPN.com. You got to, a lot of times, wade through their 32-team things, like, or Bill Barnwell's 50 all-pro players and everything else. So you got to do some scrolling, but it's always worthwhile. All right. I want to get to one other thing with Brian Bulaga before the top of the hour, even though the top of the hour is already here. We'll get to that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Texas, Ohio State at the Capital One Orange Bowl. Penn State, Notre Dame at the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic. The semifinals of the College Football Playoff. Coverage begins next Thursday and Friday at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN.
Running late again, but I want to ask Brian this question that comes from Ryan via Twitter. Then we'll get to some from the Carbless talk and text line and even a YouTube question or two. But you have a little bit of experience with this. Not much. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the years you blew out your ACL happened to match up with the years that Rodgers broke his collarbone, right? 13 and 17?
Yep.
So you did not have to suffer through that. Well, I mean, you had to suffer through recovering from your knee injury. But in 17, you know, you suffered that injury before the end of the season. 18, you were trying to win for Joe Philbin after he took over for Mike. But in your time with the Chargers, did you have seasons where they were out of contention going into the last week or so?
Oh yeah, both years.
Okay, so
let me take that back. Second year with Staley, we lost to the Raiders, and if we would have beat the Raiders, we would have gotten into the playoffs.
Was that the one where if you guys would have tied, you would have?
Yes.
If you'd have just agreed to tie, you both would have made it.
Yes.
God, what a weird deal that was. So the reason I ask is Ryan's question is, question for Brian, does Big Mike's team have the ability and talent to do us a favor and knock off the Commanders on Sunday? And I just wanted to ask you, how hard is that? Like, hey, in 2022, the Lions came in here under Dan Campbell with nothing to play for, had already been eliminated earlier in the day. Packers had a win, and they were in the playoffs, and they beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers at Lambeau to keep them out of the playoffs in Rodgers' last game as a Packer. So how hard is that for Mike McCarthy's team to do on Sunday?
I mean, it's going to be difficult, and I guess I don't know who's active and inactive for his team, right? I mean, I remember I thought you said there's going to be a lot of guys out for them. I don't know who exactly is in and out. But they can – they can win. I mean, they can certainly get it done. It's not going to be easy. There's a chance. I know Mike is going to have them as ready as they can possibly be to win a football game. He's coaching for his, you know, career, essentially, for him being a head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. So he's got a lot on the line for himself. So he's putting everything he can into this game. Although I think he's done as much as he possibly could with the roster that he has and the situation he's been dealt this year. But there's a chance, right? And there's also something to be said about Washington overlooking them, just looking to the playoffs and not thinking anything about Dallas coming in. So, like, there's a possibility. Is it a good one? No, but there's a possibility.
Just like there's a possibility, Jesse, that Tausch will return home and later on tonight crack open a Coors Light, maybe even with you. Maybe you guys are getting together to have Coors Lights together.
I don't think the Badger game is on Peacock tonight, so I don't think he has a great reason to come over and watch it. But if he wants to, we can pop open a couple of Coors Lights together. You know he enjoys the Blue Mountains, and so do I. The Blue Mountains of cold, refreshing Coors Light, whether you're celebrating your favorite team winning or you just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process. Cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans turn blue when chilled to perfection, which besides the refreshing taste is Tausch's favorite thing about drinking Coors Light. Refreshingly cold and only 102 calories, Coors Light made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
In the 11 o'clock hour, we will have our weekend preview. We will have headlines. Whoa, Nelly. We'll get to some of your questions. But I'm scrolling through the Will Diatoush YouTube or Twitter feed. I don't see a headline from the Academy.
Oh.
Did I miss it?
It is up on the Facebook page. I thought it should be up on the Twitter
feed. Maybe you posted it a lot earlier today. But the last thing I see from Wilde and Tausch is, have the Packers lived up to your regular season expectations? And then we get into all of today's content. So if you haven't seen that, you're going to be surprised by it. But there is one. The Academy didn't get so mad at me for saying that people like songs better, that they're not boycotting.
They did come through with a headline this week. That's as much as it is up on the Wilde and Tausch Facebook page, which we haven't given the Facebook page enough love lately. So check it out over there. We will get it up on the Twitter feed as well, but it is up on Facebook.
All right. Well, we will kick off the 10 o'clock hour or 11 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.